So before I start my sermon, I want to offer a little bit of a disclaimer. If this is your first time in an Episcopal church and you came here because you heard the presiding bishop, Michael Curry, of the Episcopal Church, deliver a sermon at a royal wedding yesterday, and you wanted to hear more preaching like that, I'll do my best. Now, Bishop Curry did ordain me a priest. He was the presiding, he presided at my ordination, and I've always hoped that some of that preaching ability had flowed through his hands into my head on that day, but I'm still trying to wake up to that day someday. So bear with me a little longer then. A little over a year from now, we will gather in this church again and celebrate again the Feast of Pentecost. We will celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. For many Christians, the Holy Spirit is a bit baffling. We don't know what to do with the Holy Spirit. We can explain God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, and we can tell stories of God the Son, how Jesus of Nazareth was born of a virgin, grew up, taught crowds, performed miracles, was arrested, tried, executed, crucified, resurrected, and ascended. But we have a hard time explaining God the Holy Spirit. But once a year, on the Feast of Pentecost, we hear scriptures that tell us how the Holy Spirit came upon those early disciples and filled them with wisdom and courage and strength to begin the work of spreading this story, this good news. And we hear of the promise that this Holy Spirit, this advocate, will remain with the church and will guide us as we continue to tell the story of God's love for as long as history continues. And so we spend a Sunday pondering this mystery. Then for some, we put it away and try to get back to telling the story of Jesus, because we don't know quite what to do with this Holy Spirit. But I want to offer you a challenge today. Don't try to figure out what to do with this Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not something that we can contain or fit into a tidy framework. The Holy Spirit is wild and powerful and disruptive, for it is the peace that passes all understanding. Instead of trying to figure out what to do with the Holy Spirit, try to figure out what the Holy Spirit might do with you. Over the course of this next year, before we come together again and celebrate this feast again, try to figure out how to place yourself and your life in the path of that Spirit. And then let your life be disrupted by the power of the presence of pure love. Pure love that will, in Jesus' words, guide you into all truth. The second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, a portion of which we just heard moments ago, tells the story of those first disciples who were there to experience the gift of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost. The account starts with the following words: when the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place. And so, by gathering together in one place, they had placed themselves in the path of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit swept through the house like a great wind, and each of them were filled with it. And the Word of God began to be disclosed to them in a multitude of languages, great diversity of dialects and tongues, but they were able to understand one another. I remember as a senior in college having a similar experience while kneeling in a small church in Athens, Greece. My friends and I were there because we heard that there was an evening worship service happening at the church across the street from the hotel, And we were hoping to experience some authentic local worship. But when we arrived, the church doors were open, but the church was empty. We walked into that small church, a space not much bigger than this place where we are gathered here now. And our brief disappointment at finding the place empty was quickly overcome by the overwhelming experience of drinking the deep richness of the walls of that church that were covered with beautiful, rich icons. And the place smelled of years of deep and rich incense. And so we were moved to prayer. And as we knelt against those old wooden pews, an old Greek Orthodox priest with a long white beard and black vestments walked in. And with the help of another man who was with him, who helped to translate, he identified himself as Father Maximus, the priest of that church. And then he joyfully welcomed us and told us the story of that church. And then, as he concluded, he invited us to pray the Lord's Prayer with him. And as he prayed in Greek, and we prayed in English, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit in a way that I had never experienced. I immediately recognized that Father Maximus and I and all of my friends there had a deep, abiding, and inexplicable connection. And I understood his prayer just as he understood ours. For the gift of the Holy Spirit was present, and in that moment I was filled with joy in the knowledge of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church to which we all belong. That I was a part of this beautiful prayer, a prayer of love that had been being prayed by many over millennia in a multitude of languages. Without planning it, I had placed myself in the path of the Spirit on that day. Whether you planned it or not, this morning you have placed yourself in the path of the Holy Spirit. You did it by doing the very same thing that those first disciples did on that first Pentecost. You gathered together with other disciples in one place. And as those first disciples gathered and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, in the account that we just heard from the second chapter of Acts, that account continues. And in what continues, they receive new disciples. Others are converted to the Word, and their numbers grew. And as those new ones came into their midst on that day, the disciples called upon water and the Holy Spirit. And on that same day, they baptized new members as children of God. In a few moments, we will have the opportunity to join in that long tradition as we call upon the Holy Spirit to bless water poured into our font. And the Holy Spirit will be in our midst. The Holy Spirit will answer our prayers, and God's faithful and abiding presence will render that water holy, so that it might work God's purposes upon God's children. And whether you experience the violent rush of wind as those first disciples did, or you experience sighs too deep for words, as Paul writes, or you experience the rush of joy that comes as you see blessed water splash upon the foreheads of Banks and Reagan, each of you this morning will be in the path of the Holy Spirit. And my hope for you this morning is that as it did for those disciples in that room in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, that the experience will leave you wanting more. More peace. More truth. More love. So that you might find ways to place yourself again and again in the path of the Spirit. And then anticipate what this holy and life-giving Spirit might do with you.